WNYC Studios is supported by the community of writers, presenting live online short courses in the Writer's Annex. Upcoming in 2024, Sylvia Plath, James Joyce's Ulysses, and Emily Dickinson. Instructors include Victoria Chang, Robert Haas, Brenda Hillman, Peter Orner, and Matthew Zapruder. Learn more at communityofwriters.org.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
David, hi.
Anthony, this is your first Zoom call?
This is my first Zoom call, and maybe my last, you know. Evie had to help, so that's what children are for.
Usually when I get a recommendation from one of our writers, it's something like, here's three good history books to take to the beach, or here's everything you need to know about SoundCloud rap. But when I called Anthony Lane the other day, he just finished a binge of movies about plague and pandemics.
How many films did you watch or watch part of?
As many as I could get hold of. I suppose about 20 or 30. And those are the ones that which are basically about... Disease comes into a lot of movies, but it doesn't hang around. But in fact, one of the first signs that the pandemic of pandemic movies was starting to happen was when everybody started to watch Contagion again, which is the Steven Soderbergh film.
Now, do you rank Contagion pretty highly?
I do. I mean, people now saying, oh, I liked it all along, whereas in fact they weren't actually in the first place. But now it's very hard to watch in a stand-back way, because you do tend to sit there and go, that's right, they do that, but that's exactly what you do. You know, don't touch that credit card.
Did this one make your top three or four?
Oh, yeah.
So let's listen to a little excerpt.
Yeah, this is Contagion.
Hello?
Hello? Mr. Barnes?
Yes.
This is Dr. Mears from the Centers for Disease Control. I believe you may have had contact with Beth Emhoff last week.
Yeah, I picked her up at the airport. What's this about?
How are you feeling today?
Pretty cruddy, to be honest. Head is pounding. I probably picked up some sort of bug.
Where are you right now?
I'm on the bus, heading to work.
I'd like you to get off immediately.
Wait, what? What's going on?
Where's the bus, Aaron?
Lake and Lindale. Can you tell me what's
Lake
going
and
on?
Lake and Lindale. I really need you to get off that bus. Listen, it's quite possible you've come in contact with an infectious disease and that you're highly contagious.
What?
Do you understand?
I want you to get off now and stay away from other people.
No, what do I do?
Don't talk to anyone. Don't touch anyone. That's the most important thing. We'll send somebody to meet the bus.
Okay.
I'm on my way to you now, Aaron.
Looks like he gave the disease to about 14 people on the way off the bus, coughing, gripping the pole.
Yeah, the pole, it is very clever in the way that it's very good on surfaces, and it educates you into things that we do know now anyway. But that actually counts as one of the more relaxing parts of the film, I'd say, you know. But there is one of the strange things about the film is that it's very scary, it's well put together, but it can't resist the upswing at the end. It can't resist the finding of the vaccine by the brilliant lung scientist, and given what care the rest of the film has taken to try and reproduce the ways in which these things actually do pass and mutate, it doesn't pay much attention in the end to what a search for a vaccine is going to look like. It's an interesting case of the Hollywood ending needing to improve on life rather than reproduce its every fear.
Anthony, is there a second film that we should look at?
There's about 20 other films you'd look at, but I think there's one going back a long, long way. And this is Faust. Faust from 1926, directed by F.W. Murnau. I was watching this thinking it would be a historical, you know, curiosity. But Murnau, he was making it in the shadow of the recent Spanish flu. So people actually had been thinking about plague not long before. Plague plays a major part in it, because one of the first things that happens is that Mephisto, who's taken a you know, in a proper life and death struggle with archangels, has said, look, I can strike this town down. Let's see how we go. Look, so what he does is to bring plague into a town. There's a wonderful famous image of Mephisto looming over this little German town. And the plague creeps in. We see the plague creeping in. And people starting to keel over from it. And what's interesting, of course, is we see people having fun when the plague strikes. You know, you see, as in all medieval films, people do nothing but tumble and do acrobatics. But the idea of this idea of fun being cut short, people are always enjoying themselves when the plague strikes. It's therefore, there's a biblical sense that of possible vengeance, that you have earned this by being irresponsible citizens. Faust is in some ways indebted to that, but it becomes, as always with Murnau, as in Nosferatu, which he'd made a few years before, he's very interested in the way that darkness can creep upon us and also in the way that light can flare out and defeat it. Faust, who's thought of as a wise man with skills and medical skills in the town, is asked to come and help and then says that he can't help. The plague is insuperable. He would need to have greater powers. Cue the powers. And so, in other words, the deal with the devil is made for quite altruistic reasons. He wants to be the sort of person who can cure a plague, which I think has a certain twist to it in the first place. If there is a movie, I think, which, after having trawled through quite a fair number of these, if there is a movie that you should see because it's in itself a good movie, regardless of the circumstance in which we find ourselves, that's Panic in the Streets, the Alakazam movie from 1950.
Herewith recorded is the story of a silent, savage menace. How for 3 days a great American city found itself outside the United States of America. The events, incidents, and emotions of the people who were a part of it, who found time running out as they looked into the face of mortal peril.
So it's before Streetcar and before On the Waterfront, but he's already interested in working people and in their ordinary lives. And that matters a great deal in the film. So a guy comes ashore from a boat in New Orleans, and he's shot and dies. But at the autopsy, they realize, in fact, he's had pneumonic plague. It then becomes, you've got to find the baddie who shot him, not just because he's committed a crime, but because he may be infectious. And if the baddie in this case is played by Jack Palance, you're thinking, uh-oh. Jack Palance, he's basically like the virus just in a black shirt. I mean, he's sort of, you know, he doesn't look like he's uninfected in the first place. He's infected with, you know, with being Jack Palance. And so Rich Widmark, who's the doctor with the public health, comes in, finds that, and starts to immediately take action. And the really interesting twist is the extreme skepticism that Widmark shows towards public information. Because in this case, if you publicize it, Jack Palance is going to skip town. So there's quite a lot about press freedom, interestingly, in this. And Widmark is fantastic because he's doing good in the film, but he's not a do-gooder. And when he tells people off for kind of thinking in for thinking in too naive a way, as he does, politicians and mayors and other and cops and so forth, he does so with a kind of sneer and a snarl, as if he really means this. And he knows, because he knows what's at stake. So it stops the film from becoming sappy. I think we're going to see a clip.
And there's no reason for panic.
Our only chance for full cooperation, Clint, is to inform the public.
You agree?
No. The minute he prints it, the men we're looking for will leave the city. Now, I've told you once and I'll tell you again. Anyone leaving here with plague endangers the entire country.
The entire country hasn't got it. We have. A woman died here last night. This problem lies right here in our own community.
Community? What community? Do you think you're living in the Middle Ages?
Oh, come now.
Anybody that leaves here can be in any city in the country within 10 hours. I could leave here today and I could be in Africa tomorrow. And whatever disease I had would go right with me.
I know that.
Then think of it when you're talking about communities. We're all in a community, the same one.
Wow, that is resonant. What is the upshot of watching all these films?
In all honesty, I thought there were some wonderful films here, and saw some wonderful bits of films as well. But I also, because inevitably you sit there comparing it with the experience we're all going through in our various ways at the moment, you sit through thinking, well, where's the lockdown bit? Where's the boredom bit? Where's the confusing public signals? Where's our experience of this? Where's the thing when you can't go across town and see your aged parent or your or the kids can't see their grandparents? There's almost none of that. I can see why, because watching 2 hours of people in a household not getting on with each other, you know, who wants more of that at the moment?
Yeah, you can get that at home.
You can get that at home, exactly so.
Let's let the real life movie end soon so we can watch these.
Exactly, so we can all go out to an actual movie theater and get lots of health-giving sodas. And then, because, you know, James Bond has already been delayed once. It's supposed to be November, and if it's any longer than that,
we've suffered enough.
I need James Bond in November, come what may.
Anthony Lane, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Tim.
Anthony Lane is The New Yorker's film critic, and you can read his essay, Our Fever for Plague Movies, at newyorker.com.